right here on Devil Radio.
The island, it is silent now, but the ghosts still haunt the waves. And a torch lights up a famished man, who fortune could not save. Did you work upon the railroads? Did you rid the streets of crime? Were your dollars from the White House? Were they from the five and dime? Did the old songs taunt to cheer you, and the dance still make you cry? Did you count the months and years, or did your teardrops quickly dry? I know, said he, it was not to be on a coffin ship. I came here and I never even got so far that they could change my name. Thousands are sailing across the western ocean.
And welcome back, Kate Milifalcha, Don Brown Connect, filling in for Matt Flynn direct on this beautiful St. Patrick's Day. The sun hasn't come out yet, but it will be a shiny day. And that was Thousands Are Sailing from the Pogues. Great song that describes the Irish diaspora in America in that first line. And, you know, I just remembered that this is my first St. Patrick's Day without my father, who passed away last June. And, I was talking to my mother about my new radio show on Saturdays this week in Waukesha at 10 a.m. And then filling in this week. And my mom says that, it's too bad your father wasn't here. He'd really love that. And, I feel that he is. And real quick thing on my father, too, is he wasn't your typical Irishman, very proud to be Irish. He was more of an Anglophile, first-generation American. And that generation, tried to distance themselves from their Irish heritage and wanted to be more perceived more as, mainstream Americans. And if you ever watch the show Mad Men and the Donald Draper character, and he was a metaphor for a lot of men of that generation, not necessarily the womanizing part, but the idea of like shedding that skin of your past, whether it was a lower income, agrarian past, which in his case, or an ethnic past, as in my father's case, and many of those men of that generation really went out of their way to take on an American identity. And it wasn't until in his later years that he really came to really appreciate the rich Irish culture and the things that made it special about being Irish. And I remember shortly after when my grandmother died in 94, she died in March 1st of 19. I remember him calling me on St. Patrick's Day while I was working, and it just blew me away because, those are the things that he just didn't like to embrace. And I remember even seeing him wearing the green too when we'd go out to lunch around St. Patrick's Day, when I go back home to visit. So thinking of you, Dad, and all the other great Irish out here. And here at the future office of former Alderman Don Brown, the Mar-a-Lago of the Midwest, our idea of making America great again is making Waukesha more Irish. How about it, Sam? Do we have a caller that's been patiently waiting?
Yep, Martina from Madison's giving us a call.
Hey, Martina. Thanks for waiting. How are you this morning? Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way.
Top of the morning to you there.
Right. What's
it, Eddie?
What? Sorry.
My name came from an Irish great aunt, Martina Murphy Quinn.
Love it.
That's my name.
I love it.
Murphy made a name, and then she married a Quinn. And anyhow, long story. But what I'm hoping you'll do is, in the course of the day, bring forth the wonderful stories about the heroism of the Irish people. James Connolly.
Yes.
And Israel, the whole bunch around the Easter Uprising, the whole IRA development, the whole, how, in spite of themselves, the Irish resolved their troubles. And
yeah.
God help us that we continue to learn from that it is possible to live with what you formerly thought was your enemy, because we're going to need to learn that after the Ukraine.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Martina, that there was such a rich history there and a really great story about the Easter Uprising and the whole the Irish struggle for independence that spans centuries.
Right.
And
yeah.
I remember Brian Kelly likes to wear a Star Wars shirt around the studio. And when I was working in Ireland, you know, Star Wars, like everybody loves Star Wars in Ireland. They're obsessed with it. And why? Because it's the story of Ireland juxtaposed into the future. And, you know, that same struggle against a larger empire. And
right.
So you may have heard some Yeats, Martina, and everyone else, where in one of his poems, he talks about a terrible beauty is born, a terrible beauty being born. And that terrible beauty was that Easter Rising, which was started by Paul Rick Pierce, and of course, James Connolly, who was a longtime labor leader and a real patriot for Irish independence, and a collection of other students and young professionals, teachers, not many people with real military experience. And they knew going into that rising that they were going to lose, and they were going to lose bad. But in those days, there was what was known as a blood sacrifice. And that, so what had happened, and I believe, Martina, you alluded to this, was that most of Ireland wasn't in favor of a rising because many of their sons and some daughters were fighting with the British Crown in the Great War. And kind of the carrot on the stick for all these colonies, Ireland, Australia, you know, in the Middle East, you know, the Palestine or now modern Israel, you know, like the carrot on the stick for them was, hey, if you help us win this great war, we're going to give you your sovereignty. And so and Connolly and those guys, they weren't really buying that. And, you know, as our Native American friends, you know, white men speak with Anglo men speak with forked tongue. And so what, you know, the Easter Rising was, you know, it started with the takeover of the general post office, which was the modern equivalent of like taking over the internet. They cut off the main line of communication for the British in Ireland. And so, as you know, the whole thing lasted about a week. And then finally, you know, the British basically, they had to divert efforts from the Great War to coming over to Ireland and quashing this rebellion. And, you know, if they had just thrown those guys in prison or even banished them to the colonies, the whole thing probably would have went away, but they were so angry, and their idea of making an example of them was executing them and putting them, most of them, in a mass grave. And that single-handedly united the entire island, against the British and the English. And that was what Yeats was referring to about that terrible beauty. And I had the honor when I was working in Ireland, Martina, of visiting Arbor Hill, which is an army base in Dublin where those executed martyrs, the rebels were buried, and now it's a shrine. And I got to stand at the same spot that President Kennedy stood in 1963 during his historic summer visit, where he laid a wreath. And you consider the politics of at the time, because Britain was our most important ally in the Cold War, and Kennedy's laying this wreath to honor the rebels of the Easter Rising. Very powerful moment, and a very powerful, if you ever do have a chance, I encourage everyone to visit Arbor Hill if you're going to Ireland. And I'm really glad that you have a sense of that history and want to learn more.
And there's such great music. The Irish have the best music in the world. And people like the Corries or the Diggers, there's some groups there.
Christy Moore. Sure.
And it's an heroic story.
It really is.
And we need to. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and even the Irish in America, too. I mean, the fighting 69th and the Civil War. And my friend Mary Jane Sanchez here in town of Texas roots, she's part Irish because one of her ancestors were part of the San Patricios. Are you familiar with the San Patricios, Martina?
No.
Oh, you'll love this. These were Irish immigrants that were, you know, either volunteered or drafted in the army in the Mexican War. And they got there and they realized that we were basically attacking a sovereign, you know, poor Catholic nation like Ireland was. And the San Patricios, these guys wouldn't stand for it. And so they basically traded sides, you know, like that scene in Braveheart. They went over and fought with the Mexicans. And of course, they're caught, they're executed, and they're branded as traitors. In America, but in Mexico, they're still celebrated as heroes, and they're known as Los San Patricios, and there's a big monument there to them. And and that's a story, you know, we need to do a deeper dive on, because that's, you know, incredible story of courage. And, you know, all throughout World War II, I mentioned yesterday, my grandfather had a brother who he was, you know, no sooner he got here, he was drafted in the Army in World War II, and he became a decorated hero, fighting Rommel in you know, in Africa, you know, the Desert Fox. And so, so many great stories. Did you ever read Tim Russert's book, Big Russ and Me, or Me and Big? It was a New York Times bestseller. It's about him and his father. His father.
I love Russert.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. So his father served in England in World War II, and his job was to prepare the parachutes for the Air Force, the paratroopers. And the big joke was to tell the guys is, "Hey, if it doesn't work, bring it back." And but in Russert's book, his father retells about how pamphlets had to be distributed to all the Irish American soldiers, explaining to them while they're in England that these guys are our allies now, and basically had to kind of undo that those you know that 700-year grudge. That a lot of the Irish, even America, you know, that they took with them to America. Yeah. And so it's a really great story. And again, you know, I love the English. I love the, you know, they're our brothers, they're our friends, they're our fellow humans, just like everybody else. And many of the heroes of the Irish, you know, people that also supported that were English or Irish Protestants that were partial to the Irish cause of freedom in Ireland. And so you have to give them their due. But, I got some more great stories and would love to hear some more from you, Martina. What was the other thing I was going to tell you, though? There was another great...
Hang on for a bit. I have some other stuff to share as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead. I think we got about 2 minutes. So, yeah, go ahead. Your turn.
Oh. Well, one of my heroes is a gentleman, Lynn Wallace, from Windsor, Ontario. He's totally Slavic background. His grandparents came from Belarus and the Ukraine.
Okay.
But he's the best Irish singer you ever saw. He's got some greatest songs. And his group called The Diggers just dissolved because poor Bill died. But they've got some great music out. Charlie King's got some great Irish. Anne Feeney. If you want to hear some beautiful Irish music, Anne with two E's. No, Anne has an E and Feeney has three E's. So she's got a lot of ease. A wonderful singer and just the funniest music, songs.
I love it.
I sing Irish songs myself all the time, Galway Bay. And
all right. We might have to sing one together when we come back from the break, if you're game, Martina. So
I'm up for it.
Careful what you wish. Okay, sounds good. I think we're going to jump to a break now, but Martina, stick around. Everyone else, we're going to celebrate this St. Patrick's Day in style, and big props to Martina and Madison for making this Waukesha Day special. Don't go away. Don Brown Connect, filling in for Matt Flynn Direct.